Yes. Awesome, Marguerite. We so appreciate those opening numbers, and especially as we celebrate Memorial Day this weekend, as we think about the sacrifice of those who have provided the way for us to have our wonderful freedoms that we enjoy. Well, good morning. And yes, and welcome to our worship service here at Bethany. What a joy it is to worship with our church family and not have to wear masks. Do I hear an amen on that one? It is great to see your smiling faces, but if you choose to wear a mask, that's certainly fine. We understand, we respect your choice, and we just hope that this pandemic thing will get behind us very soon. But you know, have you stopped to think about how God has blessed humankind with the ability, the intellect, and the gift of his grace to overcome this virus? Now, I realize we haven't yet beaten the thing. It's not completely over. But look how far we've come in just a little over a year. It is absolutely amazing. And what a wonderful God we worship today. What a great God that we serve. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. God of majesty and power, how awesome you are to us. The mountains tremble. The seas roar at the sound of your name. And yet, you have chosen to come to us in love and tenderness. You have called us to be your people who will act in ways of peace and justice in your world. Open our hearts and our spirits, Lord, to hear your word, and having heard, to act in ministries of hope and peace, both at home and throughout the world. Father, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and we are mindful of the men and women who paid the ultimate price so that we might live free. We are grateful for their sacrifice. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join us as we sing our first song. It's found in your hymnal, number 158. Come, Christians, join to sing. And then we'll follow that song with How Marvelous I Stand Amazed. Please stand as you're able.
And wonder how he could He took my sin and my sorrows. He made them his very own. And he bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone, singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me, singing how marvelous, my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Now sing it.
Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
So awesome. Isn't it great to sing without feeling restricted with the masks and everything and hiding in a room over here? So it's awesome. Great to see everybody singing and your smiling faces as always. And you may be seated now. Thank you. Now we're going to rejoice in the glory of God with an amazing song, and it's called How Great Is Our God. Watch and listen to the words. This triumphant song celebrates the greatness of our Heavenly Father as King of Earth. It speaks to the wondrous qualities of God and references the Holy Trinity as the Godhead, three in one, Father, Spirit, Son. Think of this song as a simple prayer to assist you as you worship our Lord. Please join us as we sing, How Great Is Our God.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. Trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And
Let's take a few moments now and greet your neighbors out there.
Good morning. I'd like to invite the children forward for the children's message. Here they come. Good morning. It's good to see all of you. And I have a question for you. Do you know what God looks like? It's kind of hard to know, because sometimes we say God is like a lion, but I don't think he's a lion like the lions at the zoo. And sometimes, like in our song, they say he's like a lamb, but I don't think he looks like a lamb. So I brought this book. I want to share a few pages with you. And it says, what does God look like? God looks like nothing we can imagine, and nothing looks like God. But there are many things that you cannot see, and still we are sure that they are there, like cool breezes on a hot summer day, or the rays of the sun drying puddles up, or the short minutes of a day at the beach. You know they are there, but there's nothing to see. Like the kindness in someone's voice, or the happiness in a song, like the pride when mom or dad sees you in your class, or when you feel the excitement of a holiday, you know it's there, but there's nothing to see. Like the love your mom or your dad shares with you when they read a good night story, or your dad's hooray when you first tie your shoes, or like your hope when it's your turn at bat. You know it's there, but there's nothing to see. But everything and everyone gives us clues that God is here and that God doesn't look like anything else in the world. So we don't know exactly what God looks like, but we can feel God in lots of moments in our lives. So remember to look and see what's around you and what you feel in your heart, and know that you can always talk to God. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you are all around us. Help us to feel you, feel the love that you have for us, and help us to share it with others. Amen. Amen. And you can now go to Children's Church. Thank you. Whoops. Oh, watch your head. We're kind of, ooh.
Good morning. Today I'll be reading the scripture Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me! I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth and with it said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me."
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God, we hear your words. And even though we may have heard them many times, Lord, help us to discover what it is you're saying to us today. Help us to understand the amazing nature of this vision that Isaiah had. Lord, be with us as we consider what it is you call us to do today. Amen. Well, there was a young preacher at a preaching conference, and he heard the main speaker there begin his sermon in the following manner. He said, "Last night I was in the arms of a woman, not my wife." And of course, he immediately got everyone's attention. So there was this hush, and everyone was looking at him, and he said, "It was my dear mother." So the young minister was really impressed with this opening, you know, how he got everyone's attention so quickly. So we ministers are always looking for new and different ways to begin a sermon, and so he thought he was going to try it out. And so the next Sunday he got up and he said, "Last night I was in the arms of a woman, not my wife." And a whole hush spread out over the congregation. But his eyes suddenly fell on his wife, and he realized that maybe he should have warned her that this was how he was going to start the sermon, because she looked absolutely flabbergasted. She had just this look of horror on her face, and so he got kind of flustered, And to his horror, the more he tried to remember what his next line was supposed to be, the more his mind went blank. And finally, he blurted out, "And now I can't remember who she was." I won't be opening my sermon that way. So our scripture this morning talks about Isaiah's encounter with God, and it's a pretty amazing vision. God is so big that God is filling the temple, and you know, the robe is lapping at the bottom of the throne, and God's visage, his head, is not perceptible. It's way up there. God is very large in this vision. And I think about that as I think about the story that's attributed to St. Augustine. I don't know if it's actually true or not, but the story goes that St. Augustine was puzzling over the Trinity, and he was walking along the beach, and he sees this young boy who is filling a pail up with water and pouring it into a hole on the beach. And Augustine asks, "What are you doing?" And the boy says, "Well, I'm trying to put the ocean in this hole." And Augustine realized that he had been trying to put an infinite God into his finite mind, and that it was a challenge. And that's the challenge that each of us face. We either have to admit that God is infinite and we can't quite imagine how that's possible, or we try to shrink God down and make God manageable, something, you know, imaginable for us. And then we lose some of that awe-inspiring nature of God. So we're sort of left with, you know, is God so big we can't even comprehend it, or do we want to make God small? Well, of course we don't want to make God small. And if I asked you, you know, where do you encounter God? But a lot of you would say in nature, that this is where I come close to God. And I think about that as I think about some of the, well, a trip I took, a short trip, when I was about 10 years old. My mom had found out about this kind of rocky beach that was off the coast. And you couldn't really, the only way you could really get to it was on a dirt bike or on a motorcycle, because it was at the bottom of a big cliff. And she convinced my brother to ride us down one at a time on the back of his dirt bike. And so we got down there, and it's rocky, it's really rocky. But if you go at low tide, you see all of these tide pools. And so we were looking into these tide pools, and it was, you know, it was amazing. It was like a whole world before you, a world that existed before the tide went out. But all of a sudden, you can see it. You can see starfish and anemones and sea urchins and hermit crabs and barnacles and tube worms and sea snails and all of these really cool things. They're there. They've been living there, but suddenly you can see how amazing and diverse nature is. At first, you know, when the tide is high, you wouldn't think anything could survive on these rocks, and yet there's life all around. And I think about that. I think about how intricate God's creation is. Henry Nouwen, who was a writer and a Catholic priest, wrote, "All that is sacred, because all that is speaks to God's redeeming love. Seas and winds, mountains and trees, sun, moon and stars, and all the animals and people have become sacred windows offering us a glimpse of God." And it's fascinating to me how that it seems like there must be a mind behind all of the creation around us. Dr. Francis Collins is an eminent scientist. He was the director of the National Human Genome Research Institute, But he grew up on a farm in the Shenandoah Valley, and he graduated from Robert E. Lee High School. But he wrote a book, even though he's mostly a scientist and has won lots of awards for his work. He wrote a book in 2006 called The Language of God, A Scientist Presents Evidence for Belief. And he wrote, I find that studying the natural world is an opportunity to observe the majesty, the elegance, and the intricacy of God's creation. And so it's I think sometimes we need to stop and admire that kind of amazing intricacy that's part of creation. And this is Trinity Sunday. Randy mentioned that before. Pentecost is all about the drama, right? I mean, there's spectacle, and it's the creation of the church, and, you know, there's often cake afterwards because it's the church's birthday. You know, it's there, right? But the Trinity is a little harder to celebrate because it's more abstract, it's more intellectual. But the scripture, one of the scriptures for Trinity Sunday is weirdly wonderful. Isaiah has this vision of the Lord, and it's God is not contained in that temple. God is on this throne, and the train of his robe fills up the temple, and there are these seraphim flying about. And seraphim are sort of mysterious because in Hebrew the word means fiery, but it also alludes to kind of something snake-like. So imagine six-winged fiery serpents are flying around singing. And so Isaiah says, woe is me. Or in the Hebrew, and you know this Hebrew word probably, he says, oy. I kind of wish they'd left it like that. Oy. I am a man of unclean lips from a people of unclean lips. What am I doing here? He realizes he's in the presence of God, and while everyone else there is holy, he is not. It is as if being confronted by God has reminded him of every profane word he has ever said. Everyone's holy but him. And holy literally means set aside. It means set aside for an extraordinary purpose. But Isaiah has been living with everyday people, and these everyday people have fallen away from God. And Isaiah needs to learn a new way to talk, a new way to communicate God's message. So he's purified with this live coal. His guilt is taken away and his sins are forgiven. And it's just sort of an amazing scene. All of his guilt taken away, and the seraphim singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And we have this vision of the awesome power and glory of God contrasted with the human frailty of Isaiah. Yet the voice of God reaches Isaiah's ears as God calls out, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Now, sometimes God can seem kind of confusing to us. God is love. We know that through Jesus Christ. And yet, God's actions in the Old Testament are sometimes confounding. But I think also we have attempted to shrink God down to make God more understandable. I mean, sometimes God is testy. God is like that with Job. Sometimes God has compassion, like the compassion he had on the sinners of Nineveh. And sometimes he forgives, like with David. God will be God, and it's hard for us to wrap our minds around all of that. But maybe there's another way to imagine God, not just about seeing, but about hearing. Imagine that God is that powerful, deep tone that rings out so powerful that anything that is in tune with God will vibrate in sympathy, and God answering God's tone with its own music. There's a scientific name for something that happens called sympathetic vibration. You know, sound is vibration, and when a string is plucked, the sound vibration travels through the air. And if there's another string that's in harmony with that plucked string, even though that second string isn't plucked or made to move in some way, it will vibrate with that other string. I saw a YouTube video where a violinist was, he was playing a violin solo in the key of D, and behind him there was this kind of rack, and it had four guitars hanging from it. And so the violinist would play a few notes, and then he would remove his bow from the string of his violin, but you could hear the notes still playing from the guitars. It was a tone that was ringing in the air. And it might sound odd, but I believe that there are times when we can vibrate in harmony with God. Today, when we sang without masks, all of us together, maybe you felt it in your chest, that vibration. I know at annual conference, one of my favorite moments when we do it in person is when everybody stands up and sings "And Are We Yet Alive?" Sing the same song every year so everybody knows it or fakes it. And all of those voices ringing out, you can feel it vibrating. And it might sound strange, but I think that people can vibrate in sympathy with one another. My first Sunday at a church I served, I've mentioned this before, there was a car crash, and four of the five people in the car were killed. And one of those people was a young man named Carter Stevenson, who was 14 at the time. And, of course, his parents were just absolutely devastated by his death. It was a tragedy that struck at the heart of that family. But about a year later, two Boy Scouts died from a lightning strike while they were camping. And so Jennifer, Carter's mom, she sat down and she wrote a letter of sympathy to each of those mothers. She knew better probably than anyone what they were going through. Not just the pain of loss, but what it was like to lose someone in a way that attracted media attention. And so that sort of began a mission for her of reaching out to other parents who lost children. She vibrated in sympathy with their loss. And God has an answer for us when we cry out, "Woe is me," or "Oi," or "I'm not worthy," or "Help." God vibrates in sympathy with us. And God answers us if we dare to say, "Here I am, send me." Because God calls out to the grieving parent who's lost a child, "Who shall I send? Who will I send to the fatherless child? Who will I send to the sick? Who will I send?" And if we look deep into ourselves, there are times when we can say, "Here I am, send me." Who will I send to the friend who needs an intervention? "Here I am, send me." So go, then. Listen for that quiet vibration of God's voice and answer the call. And you will know Christ. Amen. Well, it is good to see all of your faces. And as you know, this service doesn't just happen by chance. Things go on to make it happen. You may have noticed that some people have mentioned to me the buckets weren't out this morning, but we do have an offering plate that's sitting just outside the doors into the sanctuary. If you want to put something in there, it would be most appreciated. Let us pray. Gracious God, you who are creator and redeemer and sustainer, we thank you for all that works together so that we might glorify you. Lord, help us to see your magnificence in nature and in each other. Lord, you hear us and we offer our thanks. Amen. Of course, as this is Memorial Day weekend, we want to remember those who gave their lives in service to their country. Among our other announcements, the office, church office, will be closed tomorrow in honor of Memorial Day. We are collecting items for kits for conference. They need to be in by June 19th, and you can find the list. There's a basket out there, and next to the basket, there's a list of the things that are going into the modified school kits and health kits. So we appreciate you gathering items for that. Also, we are still taking donations for the Green Hanger Project, and we're looking for volunteers for Children's Church and for folks to mow the grass in September, August and September. And of course, a reminder that everyone who is fully vaccinated can attend service without wearing a mask. Do we have any other announcements? Okay. I know that one of the concerns that's on my heart is that Gail Thornberry, who is a United Methodist minister in our district, is fighting COVID and pneumonia. She's on a ventilator right now. I know her family would covet your prayer. She was hopefully will be retiring at the end of June. Do we have other joys or concerns? Yes. All right. Well, Maggie, we will pray for you as you're heading towards having surgery. Yes?
Prayer request still for my nephew, Scott, and for my daughter, Michelle, and those who are facing health issues. They need prayers.
All right. Well, we will keep your daughter, Michelle, in our prayers, and also Scott. Yes. All right, we'll lift Elizabeth up in our prayers as well, who's in need of help. Any others? Yes. All right, well, we'll certainly keep her in our prayers, Tom, as she's considering what next steps. Any others? Well, let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we enter into this time of prayer, we offer our gratitude that you are always present, that you are always willing to hear. Lord, instill in us a desire to take time to be still and listen for you speaking into our lives. Lord, help us to listen to one another as well, to hear and try to understand. Lord, we pray this morning for those who left for war and never came home. We pray for their families, and we ask that you give them comfort in their loss. Lord, we pray for all of those who have lost loved ones and ask that you remind us of that promise of the resurrection to continue to bring abundant life on earth and in your kingdom. Lord, as we come together, we pray for those whose names that we've lifted up so that they might receive healing in whatever way that comes. Lord, pour out that healing upon them and on those who have felt broken in spirit. Lord, we know that there's so much depression that has come from the pandemic, and even as things look like they're turning the corner, we pray for those who are still struggling. Be with them and help us to see others who might need us to listen and care for them. Lord, help us not to live in fear, but remind us that we can go forward in faith, that in the mystery, you are with us, that your Holy Spirit is still our advocate, and that we can rely on your strength when we are weak. In the name of Christ, I pray. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not unto temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, let us stand as we're able, and we're going to sing Greater.
Every day I wrestle with the voices that
and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. In the world, in the world, then greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. Bring your doubts and bring your fears. Bring your hurt and bring your tears. There'll be no condemnation here. Oh, you are holy, righteous, and redeemed. Every time I fall, there'll be those who will call me a mistake. Well, that's okay, 'cause I hear a voice and he calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough, and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. In the world, in the world, and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. Grace says that it doesn't matter, cause the cross already won the war. He's greater, I am learning to run freely, understanding just how he sees me, and it makes me love him more and more. He's greater,
there'll be days
I lose the battle. Grace says that it doesn't matter, cause the cross already won the war. He's greater, I am learning to run freely, understanding just how he sees me, and it makes me love him more and more.
He's greater, he's greater.
'Cause I hear a voice and he calls me redeemed, when others say I'll never be enough. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. In the world, in the world, and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. There'll be days I lose the battle, grace says that it doesn't matter, 'cause the cross already won the war. He's greater, I'm learning to freely, understanding just how he sees me, and it makes me love him more and more.
My God is greater than he who is living in the world.
Yes, thank you, and have a blessed week.
I call you redeemed. Go forth in the world and share the love of God. Amen.